Matthew 5 and 13. Matthew 5 and 13. Thank you. All right, look at this, y'all. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savior, wherewith shall he be what? It is thenceforth good for what? But to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Wow. Ye are the what? A city cannot. Wow. 15, please. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it what? Unto all that are where? In the house. And finally, verse 16, please. Let your light before men that. And what? Okay, Father, thank you for the strength of the word. Thank you for the insight that you make available to us. I pray anyone today that has scales on their eyes and impacts their ability to be able to see the way you would have them to see, I pray that those scales will fall off their eyes today. I pray that there will be none that will fight, kick against, or, Lord, try to protect themselves from the strength of your word. For you send your word to heal your people. So, God, as your word goes forth today, somebody's life will not only be touched, but somebody's life will be changed. I thank you today that as a result of sitting under the word of God, our lives will be the better. We receive it by faith, and we call it done. And all of God's people said amen. God bless you. You may be seated in a household of faith. You all, we have been, as you well know, not just in a conversation, not just in a teaching, but we have been literally, y'all, in an impactful Alter Make Your Life Better series of teachings that are centered around mad. And we have chosen to take a positive position when we say we're mad, because we say we're mad with a smile on our face. We have no intentions of being mad because we're bitter, we're indifferent, we're disgruntled about something, we're unhappy about the way things are going. We're saying that we're mad because we believe that God has really called us to make a difference. And I believe in all of my heart that not only can we do that, I believe that we are doing that. And each week I've been giving you a different subject matter associated with actually being mad. And today we're going to talk about being mad, making a difference by being the light. Look at your neighbor and just try it. Just smile and just tell them I'm mad. Okay? And look at them again and smile and say, let me explain something to you. Say, I'm making a difference being the light. Okay, now, y'all, when we talk, I want us to be, I share with the folk at 8 o'clock, when we say it's time to read the word, or we get ready to read the word, or we announce the scripture, we get to talking about the name of Jesus, I want y'all to get loud and make noise. I want y'all to get excited about it. Just a couple of weeks ago, watching the NBA playoffs, and then watching, you know, just a little over a week ago, the draft, and they were calling folks' name in the drafts in whole cities. I mean, you know, states were just going crazy over the name of the individual that was being announced. And, y'all, when we say Jesus, there ought to be some folk really, I mean, you know, look, if a name can mean so much to a city that they go crazy because that person is being added to a team, when we say Jesus, Jesus ought to do something to the life of the believer. How many of y'all believe that name still has power? Come on, y'all. How many of y'all believe that name still will do what God said it will do? How many of y'all believe that that name can still change a life? If you believe that, just touch somebody near you and just say, Jesus. All right? So let's get loud about that. We get ready to read the word. Let's get loud about it. Let's get excited about it. Let's make some noise about it. We got something to be loud about. Well, Bishop, we don't need to be so loud about Jesus, folks. The devil loud about what he's doing. Come on, talk back to me, somebody. And we need to be loud about who we are as well. So in this series of teachings, again, my objective has been to, you know, help you become a mad person. I want you to be a person that's actually making a difference. And in particular, throughout this week and the weeks to come, I want you to make a difference by being the light. And the scripture that we read earlier sheds light on what I'm going to be talking to you about. Now, the one thing, again, quickly connecting the dots, that Jesus knew, he lived with this conviction that the people that followed him, that he invited to be a part of his life, they were more than just followers. He was inviting them to be a part of his family. He said, hey, come be a part of my life. We're going to do family together. He said, we're going to do life together. We actually going to do ministry together. He said, we're going to create memories together. Because the one thing that Jesus knew, in order for ministry to be strong, in order for ministry to take place, it was going to require relationships. And you and I are built for relationships too. And we have to ask ourselves, y'all, the question, you know, really right now, who are we doing life with? Who are you doing ministry with? Who are you doing family with? I mean, honestly, and then who are you creating memories with? Because that's really what it's all about. And that's what Jesus encouraged his followers to do and to be a part of that. The Bible says that God is love. God is love. Not only is God love, but love is God. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, as you well know, that whoever believes in him doesn't have to perish, but their lives can be changed forevermore by way of eternity. They can have everlasting life. So God is love. We were made by God. So we were made to love. We were made by love because we were made to love. And we were made to love so that people could experience the love of God through our life. And we have to remember what we're made of. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I'm made out of love. Tell them, I come from love. And God wants me to love other people. So when you're being the light of the world, when you're being the light, when you're allowing your light to shine, that's what you're doing. You're allowing the love of God to flow through your life so that somebody can experience and be touched by what's actually changed your life. So in our text today, Jesus knows he's the light of the world. And he's expressing that and teaching that to his followers, the people who were going to do family with him, the people who were going to do life with him, the people who were going to do ministry with him, the people who were going to create memories with him. And he said, listen, I'm going to be checking out of here in a few years. I'm going to be going back to be with my Father. I'm not going to physically, as I am in this form, be with you. But I'm not going to leave you by yourself. He said, I'm going to leave my spirit in you. I'm going to leave my life living in you. You're going to be the light of the world. You're going to shine for me, even in my absence, because I will always be seen through you. And he said, you are the light of the world. I'm going to do ministry. We're going to do create memories together. We're going to do light together, life together. And that's what he was saying in verse 13. He said, you are the salt of the earth. And salt is a preservative. Salt really is designed to make things taste better. Salt has been so good to a lot of people until they done ate too much of it. And the doctors have said, you got to cut back. But salt has always been a preservative. And really, salt was one of the most precious commodities in Jesus' day. As a matter of fact, a lot of the Roman soldiers and a lot of people used to get paid wages by salt. That's why you've heard or maybe seen or been around folk have said the phrase, he or she, they're worth their salt. Because salt was just that valuable. Any of you all that spent any time around your grandparents or, you know, your aunts or uncles that did anything with farming at all, you know, one or two generations ago, one of the things that they would always preserve the meat with was salt. Because salt was designed to slow the decay, to keep the meat from rotting. And Jesus says, we are the salt of the earth. Salt was to make things better. We are to make things better by being the light. In other words, we have flavor. We are flavorable people. We bring influence to the world. And Jesus says, that's what you all are, and that's what I need you to be. But then he said these words. He said, but if the salt loses its savior, in other words, if you lose your flavor, if you lose your influence, if you lose your identity, if you lose the difference maker that you are, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says if the salt loses its savior or loses its flavor, it is good for nothing but to be trodden under the foot of men. So the Bible is declaring that if we lose our influence, if we lose our distinction, if we lose the flavor that we got as believers, if we become less than what we were created to be in the world, God says that we're good for nothing. In other words, you cease to serve your purpose when you lose your distinction. So we can't be one thing or testify to being one thing and then act like another, because when we lose our distinction, distinction, when we lose what makes us different, when we just if we allow ourselves to succumb to the pressures that the world is trying to squeeze on us about us being born again believers and being saved and loving the Lord and letting our light shine, if we lose that, y'all, our significance is diminished. And we got to be very careful, because so much around us in society right now is squeezing us on every hand and on every side with the different roles, responsibility, everybody that's pulling, everybody wants a little piece of us and want us to be involved in everything. Until if we are not careful, even in today's society, it is so much happening in the lives of believers until Christ is getting squeezed out. Ministry is getting squeezed out. Doing life together is getting squeezed out. They have us so stretched out Monday through Saturday until Sunday almost is turning into the day you get some rest. But that's a trick of the enemy to get us not to be shining like we should, not being flavorful people like we should be. And you find yourself, you done worked so hard, done so much with the kids, trying to do this, trying to do that, until when they get to Sunday, whoo! We can't be the light of the world when Sunday comes and we just flip over in the bed and grab the cover and wrap ourselves up and grab the pillow and hug it and just lay there and just look at the walls, knowing that you were supposed to usher and you didn't even check, make mention or anything. And because you didn't, not none of y'all now, I'm speaking the truth in advance. But you didn't even mention it to anybody. And since you didn't mention it, you were out of place. And therefore, we had to go get somebody else to take your place that wasn't scheduled to be there. And where they were supposed to be, we had to put somebody in their place and on down the line and on down the line until ultimately it gets back. And here I am trying to figure out what we need to do. Flavorable people. We're to make things better. We're to make a difference. And if we lose our flavor, if we lose being the light, if we lose being the believers and making the difference that we should be, Jesus is telling us, y'all, you got to get this. The world is making noise and the church is silent. And he said our effect, our impact, our ability to make things better, it's of no good. It's of no value. And if I testify to being a believer and I don't walk out and live out and carry myself like what I testified to, I am losing my flavor. It's not enough for me to claim it and not walk it out and not live it. So God is saying that the world needs flavor. You're called to bring flavor to the world, not cast a shadow of doubt or unbelief or misrepresentation. Because what good is the salt if it loses its flavor? Look at his neighbor and tell him, I got flavor. Come on, y'all, say it like you mean it. You know, I got flavor. And it's interesting, y'all, because, I mean, really, to the point that I put up here, we've gotten so good at learning how to serve, work, and do what we do in church, okay? There's nothing wrong with that, but we've gotten so good at learning how to do it here. But y'all, after this message is over and we give the benediction, the lights are going to go out, we're going to lock the doors, and you going home. And the real work of you being salt and you being a light is not the salt that you are in here, not the light that you are in here. And we become so good at how to work the parking lot, how to greet, how to usher, how to work in hospitality, how to do music, how to worship, how to do this, how to do that. And that's a beautiful situation, but it hasn't translated into when the doors close here. And we trained ourselves very well to do what we do in here, but it doesn't go back to your job. It doesn't go back to your school. It doesn't go back to your community. It doesn't go back to your business. It doesn't go back to your family. But when you get here, we have trained you so well that you do it very well here. And you do it so well here until you think that this is the place where you do it only. And what I'm trying to say is you have an incredible Sunday anointing. But that Sunday anointing has to transfer into your Monday through Saturday experience. You can't leave that here. We love that you're excited. You're elated about being here and being a part of what God is doing. But when you find yourself having dealing with the challenges and the pressures associated with being the light and being salt, you'll be challenged by that. And those are the times in which God said, you can't lose your flavor. You can't take your light and put it under a bushel where nobody can't see it. And when you talk about being mad and actually, when you talk about being mad and making a difference, you can't do that without some challenge. Look at David and say, there's going to be some challenge. So I want to give you just a few questions, but y'all got this though, right? You got to carry that Sunday anointing into your Monday experience. You got to carry it outside the doors of the church. So there are a few questions that I just want to pose and also answer relative to just being the light. And, you know, so what does it mean to be the light? What does it look like to be the light? What does it mean to be a city that sit on a hill? What does it mean to shine? And with that, consider these questions. Who needs the light? The folk who need the light are everybody that we encounter. Everybody that we encounter needs to see Jesus through us. Passing out tracts, knocking on doors, visiting houses, seeing who you can pray with, passing out cards. All of that is incredible. All of that is wonderful. All of it is needful. All of it is necessary. But nothing is more greater than you being the light in the world that you live in every day. If you don't get to pass out a tract, if you don't get to knock on a door, if you don't get to go be a part of a special witnessing team, what you do every day with your life, that's the greatest light you can be. That's the greatest element of salt you can be. That's the greatest level of impact you really can have. It's the hundreds, the thousands of people that you pass from day to day, from week to week, your ability to be able to influence them and actually touch them. So it's the most important thing that you can do is to live your life like Christ in the world. And that's the world that you live in every day. So who needs to see Jesus? Everybody you have the privilege of interacting with. I'm mad. I'm making a difference. I'm making a difference by being the light. Just the other day, you know, and y'all really, you can't talk about being in a mass series and making a difference and you not have some challenge with that. And when I say making a difference, I'm not just talking about stopping on the side of the road because somebody was broke down and needs you to help change their tire, or maybe somebody needs you to help them get some gas, help them with the yard, help them with the kids. All those things are great. That's phenomenal. That's incredible. Do the good deeds. I'm with that 100%. But when I'm talking about being mad and making a difference, you're not going to be able to be mad and making a difference without some opportunities to get bent out of shape. There'll be some stuff thrown your way to cause you to cop a tude. I mean, stuff will get under your skin. I mean, there'll be folk at work that will push your button. I mean, there'll be stuff that'll pop up to try to make you get out of character. We can't talk about being, you know, being a light or being the salt, making a difference, being mad, and you expect no challenges to come with that. Just the other day, I had a lady call me. And she called me. She was talking to me about, you know, I owe her. And I said, no, I'm paid you. Well, our records haven't reflected. So she was telling me, no, you owe me. And I said, well, you know, you need to check the record and everything. And so, you know, and I could tell she was, you know, middle-aged or older lady. And so I said, you know, look here, I done told you so fine. I said, click. I just hung up on her, right? And I hung up on her, and I was at church. I went back to my desk to do my work. And I went back to my desk talking about, she talking about, check her records. And I sat down in my seat, and I said it again. No, she talking about, check her records. I sat on down again, started looking at stuff I had to do, and she talking about, check her records. And the Holy Spirit allowed me to start moving papers on my desk. And my sermon came up. I'm mad. And I tried to hurry and push it away. And the Holy Spirit said right then, you need to call her back and apologize. I'm looking around the room like somebody else in there, right? And the Holy Spirit said, you need to call her back. And immediately, y'all, the spirit of conviction comes on me. Not condemnation, because condemnation doesn't leave you a way out. It leaves you feeling like there's no way to get better. It burdens you down so until you feel like you can't recover. But conviction prompts you to do what's right, whether you feel it or not. So conviction is on me, right? So I get up. I start out like this. Closer I get, discovering it's the right thing to do, I straighten on up. Sometimes it's not easy to do what's right. Sometimes it's easy to go with what you feel, but you can't wait till you feel right to do what's right. Because if you wait till you feel right to do what's right, doing what's right may never get done, because sometimes feelings don't change. Sometimes some of us get over it in an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 3 months, 3 years. So what I found out is you do right and then you feel right. See, you're not governed by what you feel. You're governed by what you believe. You're governed by what you do. So you teach your feelings to respect your decisions. You got a lot of people that can't make decisions because their feelings are driving their life. But you can't go by your feelings. You get a four-leaf clover. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Where the other one at? No. Your decisions must control your feelings. Okay, and we are people that make intelligent decisions. And Jesus says, be the light, be salt. And so I called lady back. I said, hello, ma'am. I said, I'm Charles Millette. She said, yes. And I was very deserving of that response. She said, yes. I said, ma'am, I just wanted to apologize to you. I owe you an apology. I said, the way I talked to you on the phone, I said, I shouldn't have talked to you like that. I said, it was very rude for me. I hung up on you, and I am so very sorry. I said, you were only doing your job, and I should not have been like that. And she paused, and then she said, thank you so much. I just want to thank you for that. I really appreciate it. The job that I do, you don't know how much I go through this, but that means so very much to me, and I do appreciate it. And then she said these words that got me. She said, because I'm a Christian too. The Christian part didn't bother me. The two did. So now I'm like, how you know I'm a Christian? And the Lord reminded me, you remember those two messages she left you? I said, yeah. Your voicemail says this is Bishop Millette. So me and the lady start having this exchange, right? And she just almost like starts crying. Just want to thank you so very. And so me and her just, we had this Christian experience. And you know, I know how long she's been with the company. I know who she worked with. I know a little bit about family. She know a little bit about me. We just talking. And, you know, me and her, we good friends. But you know why that happened? Because somebody had to make sure they didn't lose their flavor. Somebody had to make sure that they didn't take their light and put it under a bush. Somebody, let me bring it to you, homie, since you ain't quite got it yet. Somebody had to break down like a shotgun and eat some humble pie and go back and admit that they were wrong and make it right. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't know who the other two people he's talking about on this road, but he must be talking about you. Because he can't be talking about me. You know, just telling people off. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I had this experience, right? And what it was like, you ever got a bill in the mail? And like, you knew it was a bill? And so you don't even open it, right? Not y'all, I'm just talking about me. So you don't even open it, right? So you take the bill and you go to the trash can and you look around, then you tear it up. And you throw it in the trash, you close it up. as if though tearing it up made it go away. And you walk away talking about, I paid that. Sometimes that's how it is as a Christian. You got stuff you need to fix. And you go find some way to tuck it away, to put it away and try to convince yourself that that fixed it. But the spirit of conviction, the light that's in you, the Christ that's in you, don't let you keep going like that. And that's something nudging you. That's the Holy Spirit just pulling you and letting you know that what you just did or what you allowed to happen, you're not going to have no peace with that. And instead of getting mad, you and I ought to be glad that the Holy Ghost is working. You ought to be glad that the Word of God is working in you to bring you to a place to where you respond to do something right. Because there are a lot of people that don't even have a conscience to do that. Touch your neighbor and say, this is good stuff right here now. Look at him and say, who need the light? Said, everybody I come in contact with, they really need the light. So being the light is being a good representative of Christ. All right, y'all, what if you and I were going, how y'all ever heard of white parties? You know what I mean? Like, not like white people party, but you know, like all white party. So y'all be looking funny, man. You can't even have serious conversation with y'all sometimes. All right, how many of y'all been to the black party? Now, I mean, not black people. I mean, like all black dress party. You know what I'm saying? How many of y'all been to black and white party? All right. So everybody at the party is supposed to wear that color, right? So let's say me and you going to a Jesus party. All right. Come on, y'all smile. Y'all act like being the light is a chore or something. Like it's a duty. Y'all, it's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a blessing to be the light. So we going to the Jesus party, right? Come on, y'all rolling with me? Come on now. Come on. Turn your head and say, come on, go with the man to the party. Sitting up in here all tardy for the party. Come on, go with the man to the party. So we all going to the Jesus party, right? Okay. Now see, if this is boring to you, something wrong with you. You gotta get your flavor back. Get your swag back. You know what I'm saying? You get your flavor back, man. I got my flavor. I got my flavor, man. Sure, that's why I wore my independence outfit today. I got my flavor. Do I like you ain't noticed my independence outfit? I done moved to the left. I done moved to the right. I done brought Dahlia on the stage. I done opened my jacket and waved my hand. I done like this. You see, I ain't got on no socks. Man, I got... Sit down there and cross my legs so you can see. What are you trying to say? I got flavor, man. I got flavor. And that's what the Lord said. When you say, when you living for God, when you got Christ in your life, when you got the light in you, you got something on you, man. When you walk in, you light the place up, man. Man. Look at your neighbor and say, get yourself together. Look back at him and tell him, I'm good at what I do. Don't listen. You know, don't be upset because you didn't wear your outfit today. You know what I'm saying? Christmas will be here. Go ahead and start working on your Christmas outfit. What was I talking about anyway? The party. So we all going to the party, right? So they invite us to work the dough. So we work in the dough. We work in the welcome table, right? Everybody coming to the party. So we the first folk they see when they get to the party. And they get to the door. We all stuck up. Attitude. Looking at folk up and down. Now we act like they coming to see us. The party ain't even for us. We been invited to the same party. We working. Have you ever went to an event, gone anywhere, and got to the door, and the folk at the door made you feel like you want to go somewhere else? Now, I'm not talking about because they checked your license and found out you weren't old enough to get in the club. I'm not talking about that. They did the right thing. I'm talking about folk made you feel some kind of way. It's like, man, I don't want to eat here. I don't want to eat here. I don't want to go to the old party. I don't want to go here. And you'd be like, let's go somewhere else. Imagine if folks come to church and we at the welcome table or we at the door and we'd be like, what y'all coming over here for? Y'all ain't got no church? I thought you went to Shootaboo Church. We got all we need up in here. I got my little posse with me. You know, it's us four. We don't need no more. Well, Bishop, I can't be letting too many come. They might get my seat. Well, it look like I see some empty ones. Well, Bishop, they get my parking, man. My parking space. Look, man, we'll cut a tree down. Create more parking space. We're supposed to be inviting. We're supposed to be flavorful. We are made out of love for the love of God to flow through us. People, listen, are you drawing people to the Lord or driving people away from the Lord? Are you pulling people to the Lord or are you pushing people away from the Lord? Think about it for just a moment. You're the first person they encounter at the door. I like a good party. You like a good party? You don't love God? I love God. I like a good party. Look at your neighbor and say, I like a good party. Daria said having responsible fun. You know, saints, y'all got to be able to have responsible fun. You can't go to every party and jump up on the table. There ain't nothing wrong with being the life of the party. But you can't turn the party out. Sometimes you be in overkill mode, drawing too much attention to yourself. That ain't what I did with my outfit now, trust me. Because no matter what I wore, I had to come up here to preach, y'all. So since I was coming, I might well just, you know, make it do what it do. But you can't just do that. Your light's got to shine. Your salt. You got to keep your flavor. You got to be the influence that God wants you to be. You got to make the kind of impact that God desires for us to have. So look at your neighbor and say, everybody that I come in contact with, they need the light, man. Do you know that the Bible says that for every sinner that repents and every backslider that comes back? Do you know that the Bible says, I was telling the 8 o'clock crowd this. Do you know that the Bible says that heaven throws a party? See, if you don't like parties, you're not going to want to go to heaven. Because it's just going to be this big celebration about everybody who made it in. So everybody you come in contact with, they really need it. But, you know, no, we don't want them to come in. It's just, you know, us four. We don't want to mow. And we don't need nobody. And the Lord's trying to tell you, grow your circle. Your circle's too small. And I want to submit this to you. Some of us are aggravated and frustrated simply because you ain't growing your circle. And you may think you're growing, you're flowing, you're moving, you're shaking, you're baking. Shot caller, big baller, large and in charge, all of that. That's okay. But if everywhere you go, when you get there, you don't do nothing but see the same people, y'all might want to do like I'm doing, like this right here. The chances are you're not going very far. You got to expand your circle. If you sitting at the table, right, and the folk you kicking it with for 2 years, everybody at the table, you the smartest one at the table every time for 2 years worth of meetings. I'm not telling you those people don't need to be with you. I'm telling you, you need to get another table. You need another table where you go to. Please hear me now. I don't mean no harm. You need another table where you go to and you the dumbest one at the table. No, don't get upset because I said that. No, you need folk in your life that can take you where God wants you to go. And if you always got people around you where ain't nobody there except people that you take it, I'm telling you, it come a time. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a very intelligent person. Come on, let's try it again. Say, you're a very intelligent person. Say, you got flavor. You're making a difference. You got swag. Your light is shining. Stop dumbing down your gift for people. When you keep the same circle, listen. When you keep the same circle all the time, you have to dumb down your gift to keep them. Oh, you think you better than people? No, I don't think I'm better than people. I just got flavor. I'm a light. I'm supposed to shine. I'm supposed to have influence. I'm supposed to have impact. I'm supposed to make things better. I'm supposed to make people better. I'm supposed to increase. I'm supposed to expand. I'm supposed to enlarge. Touch two people and tell them, I got favor on my life. Come on, say it. I got favor on my life. Everywhere I go. Come on, tell them. It's just like that. It's just like that. Tell them my light's shining and I can't help it. I got flavor and I can't help it. Number two, why should we shine? We should shine, y'all, because God told us to. I should be the light because God said I'm the light. I should have flavor because God said I got flavor. We are the church. The gates of hell can't prevail against us. It's the strongest institution on the planet. The church in itself, and that's, you know, not the building, but us. And living for God, being a born-again believer, being a Christian, being saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. Ain't no chore. Ain't no duty. Ain't no obligation. It's a privilege. It's an honor. I love the fact that I can shine. I love the fact that I've been called to bring flavor. I love the fact that I can influence. And I get up every day loving to do it. Loving to leave people in better shape than you found them. But if you're not careful, you'll make living for God like it's, oh man, Lord have mercy. I got to stop cussing again. Lord, I can't get drunk tonight. Lord, got to stay sober again. Jesus, man. Man, I tell you the truth, man. I had to go back to just having one woman. Man, shucks, man. I got to be committed to my hood. Lord, I mean, and we make it like, Lord, 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 Lord. Like it's a chore. It's a privilege. Listen, it's a privilege when you can go to the party and you ain't got to be jumping all up on the table no more. It's a privilege when you ain't got to be acting all crazy. You know what I'm saying? It's a privilege when you ain't got to draw all of the attention to you. It's a privilege to be able to discover that you still got some money left. It's a privilege. Some folk are so used to spending until when they get something, they can say, well, I got to do something with it. I got to do something with it. I got to do something with it. I can't keep it. It's got to go. I need to pray for you. So let me close this out, y'all. Listen. This This is why we need to shine. Please listen to this. I was looking at some stats the other day, and I wrote them down. Check this out. 1 in 10 people are depressed. And that rate increases 20% every year. Now, y'all, I'm not speaking this on nobody. I'm not saying that it's the truth because, I mean, we can speak against stuff and decree and declare and reverse things. I'm just telling you it's a fact, okay? Studies, statistics have shown it, all right? 1 out of 10 people are depressed. So literally, if I picked out 10 people in here, 1 of the 10, and all y'all can say you Christians, statistics show 1 of those 10 are depressed one way or another. And I know everybody already saying, ain't me. Ain't me. I'm with you. Ain't me, because some of us, you don't even know you're depressed. Until we sit you down and play the movie. Okay? 1 in 10 people are depressed. It increases by 20% a year. Listen, y'all, 9 out of 10 boys are exposed to pornography before they are 18 years old. The average young boy or young girl is exposed to pornography at the age of 11 years old. This is why we need to shine. The average age of marriage today is 28 years old. The average couple that's getting married are getting married at 28 years old, which means it's 17 years of a boy or girl addicted to porn before they marry. And they say it's harder to break porn once you're even married. This is why we should shine. Why should we shine? Because maybe the world, y'all, is just a little messed up. Close to 1 million teenagers under the age of 18 years of age last year participated in alcohol binging, which means there was alcohol poisoning happening inside of over 1 million teenagers last year alone. And when you're under the influence of alcohol and your system is being poisoned by it, your whole thought process is being altered. You can say all day long, I ain't going to do this, I ain't going to do that, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do this. Let's say you're not going to do it, but if you say you ain't going to drink no more, most folk that say they're not going to drink no more, they mean it when they say it. But if you start sipping on that liquor is not going to let you stick to what you said you weren't going to do. You say you're not going to get high. You smoke that joint, that smoke inside you ain't going to let you not do the stuff. Why do you think the devil drives so hard to get you to do it? Because he know once he get it in you, he can control you. When you're not on it, he can't tell you what to do. I'm not happy about the fact that I used to, you know, smoke dope. I hate to even tell my children I did. I really wish I could tell them I never touched it. I wish I could be like Pastor Gooch. I met him, no unclean thing has ever touched his lips. And I looked at him 2 times. So then I interviewed him. I said, you mean to tell me you ain't never tasted it? No. You never. He stuck to his gun. No. And here we are, some 30 years. I say, Pastor Gucci, no, same testimony ain't changed, Bishop. Ain't changed. And there are a lot of us that have that testimony. That's a glorious situation. And I wish I had it. But I didn't, but I didn't realize then. Smoking dope make you slow. See, some of y'all laughing. It fry your brain cells. And you think you be smart. No, man, you slow. Slow. And over time, you get slower. It's slower. Until you be sitting around, people be talking to you, and you be like, you ain't even be high. What? What you say? You know there's something wrong with dope when you can be on it and look at a person's nose and 2 hours later be still laughing. Shane looked at me talking about, go on back over there now, Bishop. Go on back over there. Okay, Shane, I'm gone, man. I'm gone. But serious, y'all, I'm done. Give me 5 minutes. 2 hours later, Luke, you still laughing at somebody's nose. And all they did, Charlene, was walked in the room. We called it tripping. You be tripping. I lost some very good friends that took a trip and never came back. Get yourself together. Stop frying your brain cells. Stop being slow. And start shining. Touch your neighbor and say, this can work for you. So a million teenagers, y'all, under the age of 18, they just participated in alcohol binge. Stay with me for just a moment. Stay with me. 10 to 12% of all kids live with a parent or an adult that is on alcohol or drugs. More than 4 kids a day die because of child abuse. More than 51% of 16 to 30-year-olds are completing the dying faith. That's why it's so important what you're doing. More than 51% of 16 to 30-year-olds are completely disengaged from church. That's not that they don't like coming to church, that they don't like listening. This means they don't even want nothing to do with the church at all. Because we live in a society right now where the parents are asking the kids, do you want to go to church? I mean, the child is 5 years old. Now, Scooby, would you like to go get snacks today? Do you want to go to the children's church? No. 5 years old. And then the teenagers, well, I don't want to be a parent that's just too pushy. I don't want to push it over on my children just too much. I really want them to have the freedom of being able. I'm with you. I really want them to have the freedom of being able to choose. I don't want to force them. I need to give them room to make the decisions. I don't want them to not like. I don't want them to love. So I don't want to be that kind of parent. And Satan is stepping his game up every single day. And while you and I are trying to not be that pushy parent, our kids are being introduced to everything. Yeah. We're going home. I was in Walmart. This little lady had her little boy in there, and he wanted some cookies, right? And he's like, I want some cookies. She said, no, I want some cookies. I want some cookie. No, you're not getting. I want some cookie. I want some cookie. I want some cookie. Now, I'm minding my own business. But I slightly distracted. So he's going off, and finally he hits the floor on his back. And he's kicking. And he's screaming, and he wants some cookies. And she go over and try to calm him down. And I thought to myself, how many of y'all got a quickening in your spirit when I said that? look at the person and say, I know what he needed. Look at the other person and say, you know what he needed too, don't you? Now look back at him and say, why we don't give that to our own? Since we know what he needed. So I says, I better go on about my business. You know what I'm saying? Go on, do what I need to do. So how do we let our light shine? We let it shine by the deeds we do, the way we carry ourselves, what we do, the way we interact. Men, let your light so shine before men, before men, before men, before men. Listen, you're not showing off. It's just shining. It's just shining, man. Before men, so they may see your what? See your good what? Come on, y'all. In other words, see your good deeds. When they see your good deeds, they be like, oh, this person's got goodwill. They worth connecting with. And people make the connection, and then you're able to share the good news. And that's where it comes from. Like, hey, Minister Jenkins, come here, son. Stay right here for just a moment. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, yeah. Let's see what you got there. Button the second button. There you go. Yeah, second one. Just leave the first one open. Just say, yeah, hit the second one right there. Dang, you clean, Doc. Come on, walk this way. Look at you, man. Go on back that way, Doc. Sit down right there on the front row. Okay, take your button loose before you take your seat there so your coat can flow. There, sit on down. Take your right leg, put it over your left leg. That's. I'm going to let you go back to your wife. And say, what are you doing? Swag. Flavor. Letting it shine. You ain't being arrogant. You ain't being cocky. You ain't being boastful. You ain't bragging. Just shine. Because you got flavor. Come on up here, Pastor Gooch. Step up here with me for a minute, Doc. Come on. Hit your top button. That's what I'm talking about. Turn around and look at the crowd one time. Wave at them. Come on, walk this way with me, Doc. That's what I'm talking about. Come on back, Doc. Hey, have a seat, Doc. Take your button loose before you sit down. Go ahead and cross your leg, Doc. That's what I'm talking about. There's nothing arrogant about that. You can't take your light and put it under a bushel, put it on a table so folk can't see it. You got to be set out on the table so your life can give light so that folk can see. Listen, the world is a very dark place, but instead of fussing about how dark the world is, let's just let our light shine. It doesn't matter how dark it is, as long as you're shining. Man, I wish I had my flashlight, but I don't. I was going to do a, it just, illustration just came to me. So y'all got to imagine it. Yeah. See, if all the lights went out, I know, don't put the lights out because security start freaking out when I do that. So don't do it because we ain't planned it. But if all the lights go out and it's just pitch dark in here, it doesn't matter how dark it is in the room. When the light comes on, darkness. So folk got a lot of stuff in their life where they can't see. But when folk walk up in their life who got a light shining, it don't matter how long folk have been in darkness. The only thing that matters is light done shown up. So when you show up on the job, when you show up in the community, when you show up at your family reunion, when you show up at events, when you show up at church, guess what's happening, y'all? The light is coming on the scene. And your failure to shine gives the devil permission to operate in folks' lives by keeping them where they can't see. When we make altar calls, the devil don't want you to come to the altar, because when you come to the altar, you come to the light. And I'm not saying it's showing up on you. What I'm saying is when you come to the altar, it puts the spotlight on the devil. So the light keeps the devil from hiding. Jesus is the light. When you come to the Lord, the light comes in. And when the light comes in, wherever Satan's been hiding in your life, he can no longer hide there. It doesn't matter how bad you've been, how long you've done it, who you did it with, or why you did it. The only thing Jesus cares about, it's not who you were, but who you can become. We're the light. Come on, stand on your feet. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. So remember, y'all, we at this Jesus party, right? And folk are coming. And they want to come in, right? Now we work in the door. We at the welcome table. Now our folk gonna get to see him through us? Are people even gonna get in Or are we going to make people feel like they want to go somewhere else? We are called to make things and people better, because we are salt and we are light. We don't lose our flavor and we don't hide our influence. Amen. Take your neighbor by the hand. Hallelujah. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, I just thank you for this moment where we've been able to sit under the word of God to hear you speak to our hearts. We thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for what you're doing. I pray, God, right now for that brother, that sister that's been listening to me minister. And they may be at a place in their life where, God, they need to do what I had to do. There's something that they just need to make right. They just need to get it right. And Father, that's something that they may need to make right or get right. You may be the very one that they need to come to get right with. So Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to give them the courage, to give them the strength, to not be afraid to talk to you about what only you can fix in their life. So Father, even in the name of Jesus, I ask you right now, forgive us of our shortcomings. Forgive us for doubting your ability to work on our behalf. Forgive us for trying to fix and handle things ourselves that we should really turn over to you. Father, we ask you today to have mercy upon us because you told us to come to the throne of grace. We ask you to have mercy upon us, and we receive that mercy today. May the words that we've heard today do more than be words in our ears. May they be seeds planted in the soil of our heart. It is my prayer that as we go down from here, what you planted in our heart today will continue to grow and produce fruit that you'll be pleased with. So God, as we go back to our sphere of influence, the positions that you've given us, the authority that you've entrusted to us, as we go back around people, please, Father, help us to be mindful of the difference that we make. So God, we don't want to go to our jobs, to our communities and casting a shadow. We want to go showing the light. So Father, come in our heart. Come on, if that's you, Lord, come into my heart. Come into my life. I need you to be my Savior. Lord, whatever I've done, whatever I've allowed to happen that's interfered with me being the flavor that you wanted me to be, the light that you needed me to be, Father, I come back to you. I bring myself back to you. I commit myself to you, Father. And I believe in all of my heart that you can shift and change my life for the better. So say these words, Jesus, you are Lord of all. You are Lord in all. When you come into my life, genius comes alive in me. When you come in my life, the light comes alive in me. So Lord, today, I believe in all of my heart, the light and the genius of God is what I need in my life. So I submit and commit my life even unto you. I love you and I trust you, Lord. I believe in all of my heart. From this moment forward, I'm making a difference being the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands and praise God for that.
Charles Millett Ministries would like to thank you for listening to this message. We pray that the favor of God continues to elevate your life. Our mission is to get clear, get focused, and get moving. If you want more information about our ministry, please contact Christian Provision Ministries at 919-774-9462 or visit us online at www.christianprovision.com.